Hallelujah, Lord, you've given us the strength. You have girded us with the strength. You have given us the ability to conquer every enemy. And of course, we know we are not talking about people.
That's right.
We are talking about the very land which is in the midst of us, which is our soul. And we see the enemies that are there, and they seemingly may try to make a business with us, but their desire and only plan is to destroy our soul. And we are declaring a war against the enemies of our soul. We are declaring a war to every sin, to every nature which is fallen, which is inherited, my God. And we thank you that you have given us the hope to overcome, that you have given us the strength, and you have given us all the means we need to overcome. So my God, we are declaring a war, and we are canceling every form of appeasement. We are canceling every form of treatment in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We rebuke it, Lord, and we do not want to remain where we are, because there is this calling. There is this place where you are calling us. Lord, you have put already too much into this project. And so we pray, my God, that you would help us even today, that we would take the word to our hearts. And as it was said before, that there would come a radical change to our life, which would be shown in a lifestyle, which would be shown in every thought we take, in every word we utter. Hallelujah. From Monday morning to Sunday night, my God, I pray that you would wake us and we would come to our senses. In the name of Jesus, we pray this morning, open our ears, and furthermore, open our hearts and open our mind to understand that we would really grasp and get hold of what you are saying, and we would be able to follow it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We have enemies, but this is not people, right?
Yeah.
Nobody is our enemy. Jesus, when he was betrayed, and he could consider Judas his enemy, how did he call him in the very last minute? Friend, huh? Isn't it something? Isn't that a challenge? Isn't it a challenge for us to observe Jesus, how he was acting and dealing in every situation? And you know what? Jesus was not pretending it.
Yes.
He really meant it. He really meant it. Judas was his friend. At least from perspective of Judas. And you know, he knew Peter would betray him, didn't he?
Yes.
You know, what did he do? He didn't say anything. Well, till the moment he was challenged to say something. But he wouldn't come in the morning to Judas. I mean, to Peter, sorry. He said, I prayed for you, and I prayed for you, and I prayed for you. And you know what? You may say, well, he prayed, and yet Peter did fail. No. He prayed, and because he did, Peter made it.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
So sometimes it seems we see situations, maybe we've seen situations this weekend, and they kind of make us to struggle and wonder, and we don't know where we are. And I want to tell you that God has given us victory.
Amen.
Over every spirit.
That's right.
He has given us victory, and we have the means to conquer. But we are not conquering people. We are conquering our own soul first.
That's right. Yeah.
And then when we move from our own soul, you know, Brother George was mentioning here, and I really appreciated the word, and he was mentioning how we progress. And I believe there are dimensions to the word. I believe that the very first thing we need to conquer and overcome is within our own soul, isn't it?
Right.
Amen? So we need to start here, and when we overcome here, then we can go and have the means to overcome things and be used. Because otherwise, when you come and you challenge your spirit, the spirit say, hey, I know you actually. I know you in a sense of, I've got something in you. I've got a stake in you. So while you are challenging me actually, let me just get hold of you, and he weakens you. So I just was encouraged by the song, and I really would like us to understand that we have the means to overcome.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. We did speak about this conference being about tabernacle, and I was particularly asked to bring the tabernacle on the table. It is a weird thing, you know. It's with the Bible, it's with the tabernacle, it's with everything of God. The more you get into it, the more you understand how deep it is, and that you just cannot get to the end of it, can you?
No.
You know, you can read Bible there, back. You can do tabernacle over and over and over and over and over and over. You know.
And over and over.
Amen. And you still realize that they are deaf, but you know what? When you do, your understanding is open more and more. And not only it's a knowledge, but you understand it and you can apply it. Because if we do not apply it to our lives, what is it good for? We are the tabernacle people? You know? No. The tabernacle actually is only a picture. It's only a shadow, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah? It's only a pattern for us. And the understanding, I believe, is exactly in the way that we have the knowledge, but then we add the interpretation, which helps our lives to become like Jesus Christ. So if we cannot get the power of it to do the job in us, we are studying in vain. Alright? So when we study it, we have to say, Lord, you have put it as a design. You know, it's like a house. You want to build a house. You've got a different plan, don't you? And in a way, with all respect, they look boring compared to the real thing, the house. You know, it's a 2D. I mean, now we have 3D, of course, you know. But it's two-dimensional. It's usually, it wasn't black and white, it was blue and white, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Like a blueprint.
Yeah. Yeah.
You look at the dimensions, and some people, they look at it, and they say, I'm going to live in this? Or try to show children. You know, say, hey, this is our new house. And they look at it, look at all the dimensions and blue lines, and say, well, and this is your bedroom. Okay. And they don't understand how it applies because they have no ability to understand it. But then you show to the father or to somebody who can read it and who has the ability to translate the dimensions into real life, and they look at it and say, hallelujah!
Amen.
And the children look at it and say, is it so exciting? Yeah, there's even fireplace. You know what I mean?
Amen.
Hallelujah! And this is something we need to pray and say, God, you know, God, give us the ability to understand and translate it into something which will be real for my life.
Amen.
Amen? So, if I do tabernacle, I hope half of you won't walk away saying, I've seen it all, I heard it all. You know, there is a word recently God spoke to me, and that's just a beauty thing. I'm sure you all have the experience. Because of certain relationship with God, it's like with a wife sometimes, you know. She says a word, nobody else would understand, but you know exactly what she means because of the history you have together. You know, you know what she's talking about. And in one word, there's the whole picture in a way. Isn't it so?
Yeah.
And I like the isn't it so. I learned it from jokes. I listen to him. You know, I listen to him. And it's just, isn't it so? Isn't it so? I need to learn that. There are people who accuse me of being like this, being like that, you know, and I enjoy it. You know what I mean? Because they usually accuse me of being like somebody who's good. It's good, isn't it? You know? So, I don't mind if I sound like jokes. I don't mind if I sound like Bert, if I sound like Seth, if I sound like a Barry and other brethren, a George, you know, and others. It's a privilege. So if you see me sometimes using a certain words put together in the way somebody else does, yes, I do it. And I don't mind, amen?
Amen.
Amen. There's this spirit, I don't know if it's here, but there's this spirit we have in Czech and in other places, you know, where people have the need to be so-called themselves. You know what it is?
Yeah.
Themselves. I want to be myself. I don't want to be like you. I don't want to be like you. I don't want to be like you. I want to be myself. Really? Really? What is it good for? I want to be like God.
Amen.
And you know what? If God would jump, I want to jump.
Amen.
You know what I mean? I would observe him, and you know, like children do. Mm. Isn't it cute?
Yeah.
You see the children sometimes, and they mimic. Is it a good word?
Yes.
Yeah. They mimic the father.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks it's cute.
Yeah.
Then you see some children of God. They mimic other older brothers.
Yeah.
And you think it's bad. Come on, guys. You know what I mean? I heard somebody asking, and somebody said, I wonder what Brother De Silva do. And other person rebuked him and says, you shouldn't be thinking, I wonder what Brother De Silva would do. You should be thinking what Jesus would do. Oh, I see, sorry. I hope my son one day, you know, when he is in situation, he would be thinking, I wonder what my dad would do. And everybody would think, yeah, wow, that's good. Don't you think? Come on, guys. Come on.
That's right.
Come on. Can we get over this?
Yes.
Is it okay if we get over this one?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, can I use a... Isn't it so? I don't mind it at all. And if I have to become black, I can become black. That's fine, too. You know. That doesn't bother me either. But I don't think that's part of it, anyway. Amen? Praise the Lord. Anyway, tabernacle, wasn't it supposed to be?
Yeah. So,
in the tabernacle, right, God spoke to me and recently, and he says, the tabernacle is about, many things, but it's about the change from brass to gold. Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's sort of brass to gold.
Right.
You know, one thing, and if this the only thing which is good about tabernacle, I would just live for it.
Amen.
Because my doctrine used to be, before I learned about the tabernacle and this word of ours, whatever it is, I believed, because they told me in a church, that there is one line, and you cross it, you're out or you're in. Out, in. You know? And that bothered me, because I already have crossed it. And my question is, what do I do now? And I told him, well, this is it. Now you need to bring more people to cross the line. And I said, all right. Well, at least I'm in. You know what I mean? But then somebody came and said, well, it's not like one line you cross and you are in. It's a journey.
Amen.
It's a journey. You know? And it's just you start, and when you cross the line, you just start a journey. It's a process, isn't it?
Yeah.
And actually, I said, yes, actually, it made sense, because I did cross the line, and yes, there was a difference, no doubt about it.
Yes.
There were certain things I dropped like this, or I didn't, all right? And that was my question of, I'm in, but in a way, you know, I'm still a little bit, now I know it was a lot, like I used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, what now? And I said, well, we are just humans. You know, God can forgive you. I said, all right, well, that's okay, I suppose, at least for a season. But you know what? I really appreciate that God can forgive me, and I'm not taking it lightly. But my thing, which I'm really excited about, is he can not only forgive me, but he can change me.
Yeah.
So the tabernacle is not just showing just there is one step and you're in, but it's a process. That actually, again, don't get me wrong, I'm looking for the day he will not have to be forgiving me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Do you believe it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, Father never forgave Jesus. Did you know that? He never forgave him. He had nothing to forgive him. Hallelujah. And this is our aim, isn't it?
Amen.
I do not want to remain the same, to be forgiven all the time.
Yes.
You know, in a way, it's a Catholic doctrine.
Yes. Mm.
They never speak about change. You come there and you confess, isn't it so?
Yes.
Yeah. And they tell you, do whatever they do, 5 Hail Marys, you know, run around the church 5 times, or whatever you do, you know, light a candle, you know, and do things, and they expect you to be there next Sunday and confess the same sin. But that's not my hope, brethren. We went beyond that, isn't it?
Amen.
So we moved from brass to gold.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Have you seen the change of the material in the tabernacle. Have you seen how it's changing from brass via silver to gold? What is God trying to say? You know, we have, I mean, if I start from the end, which we should, you know, it's a gold there, pure gold. You look around, it's all gold. I was imagining how it is. You stand in this room, it's all gold, and then it must have been something awesome. And then you have this light from the lampstand, you know, but it's all gold, so you see the reflections, you know, how it is. Unbelievable. However, and we all like it, don't we? You know, and sometimes we choose the goal, we choose the end. But we tend to reject the means to get there. We like to get a, you know, the final product. We like the butterfly, don't we?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. You know, it's beautiful. And we are willing to realize and admit we are the, you call it lukewarm? Caterpillar. Yeah, caterpillar. We can admit, I'm a caterpillar. Lord, make me a butterfly. And he says, all right, are you sure? Yeah. But, you know, then he puts you into this cocoon. You know, restrains you. We don't like to be restrained, do we? Right? He restrains you and restrains you and restrains you even more. And actually, then you start dissolving. Isn't it so?
Mm-hmm.
We start dissolving. You know, we start dissolving and dissolving. And then we start crying because we like to save ourselves. We are afraid we are losing it. You know, yes, we are. And we are supposed to.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to become butterfly. And there was somebody who was merciful to a cocoon. Because it was almost done. It was almost butterfly. And they seen the butterfly struggle, you know. So what they did, it's a story, I don't remember exactly, but I think it was a child or somebody, you know, and just cut it and opened helped the butterfly out.
Yeah.
You know what happened? It never was flying. It got out, it never fly. Because it needed a process of pushing itself out of it.
That's
it
right.
Needed the strength and the resistance of the cocoon to do the process. And if you want to fly, who wants to fly? Who wants to fly? If you want to fly, you have to go through this process of pressure. Amen? You can't. The only thing you can choose is whether you want to be butterfly or not.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you chose a butterfly, you just cannot choose your way to get there. It's pre-designed. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. And we would like to combine it. Yeah, I want to be butterfly, but I want to have it the other way. Impossible. Not available. Not there. There is not a tabernacle for VIPs and tabernacle for the rest of us. It doesn't exist. Does it?
Hallelujah.
You want to have it the hard way or the easy way? Choose. No way. There's no way.
Hallelujah.
The church these days. I say the church. I still would like to believe it's the outside church, but I'm afraid it's not only the outside church. You judge. And the church is now removing the brass from the process.
Yes.
Have you noticed?
Yes.
By the way, what is brass representing?
Judgment.
It is judgment, isn't it? We don't like it. They're judgmental people, huh?
Mm-hmm.
At least being accused of.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I know some churches, they officially proclaim it.
Yeah.
They do. Seriously, they do. I heard it. The preacher is being interviewed and they're asking them, and the big guys, I mean big guys in their own eyes, I don't think that heaven is recognizing them, but in their own eyes they're big and the churches are huge, and they say, well, you know, what about the sin and what is your stand on this? And they say, well, we don't talk about it anymore. They said, seriously, you know, go and find it. And they say, we don't talk about sin no more anymore. We don't talk about it because it's offending people.
Yeah.
Of course they have thousands and thousands. They have to have a Sunday meeting in 5 sections because they can't fit into 20,000, you know, people rooms and buildings. You know, yes, because people like to come there and be patted on their back. You know, and say, you need to, stories, you need to feel good and be good and all this. No challenge, No judgment anyway, you know.
No challenge.
So, this is what the church is doing these days.
Mm.
But when there's no judgment, the journey never starts.
That's right.
Yes.
You know, there's this Jesus loves you message.
Yes.
And of course it's true, Jesus loves us. But it's not what he came to say as in the first place. You know what I mean?
Mm.
It's the whole thing, Jesus loves you, and we have all these programs.
Mm.
You know, and by the way, have you seen the signs? You must have in the States. Have you seen the signs, big signs next to church, homosexuals welcome?
Yeah.
You haven't seen it?
What?
Mm-hmm. Are you joking? Who has seen the church and in front of the church, big signs, homosexuals welcome?
Yes.
2, 4, 5?
Yes. Really?
Huh?
Yes.
They use the symbol LGBT friendly.
Really?
Yes.
Yes, of course. Yes, and there's hundreds of churches. We are not talking about one church out there, an exception. This is becoming a standard. This is becoming a standard. This is becoming a standard. Alright? So, and we would like to brush it. You know, we would like to brush it aside. Brethren, this is a changing, this is a changing mentality of a church. The world is trying to come and change the mentality. Something we wouldn't think years back. It's just a regular thing. You know what I mean? I think it's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible. And we try to spiritualize it. We try to, you know, because we can't admit that it really could be a problem.
Mm.
Recently, we went in fellowship. You know, there was an open door to some place, and we went to the fellowship with some people, and we had an encounter. And the Lord has revealed. The people were not very happy about it, but the Lord has revealed a situation: 3 homosexual cases, 1 in leadership.
Mm.
Yes. You know what I mean? And they wouldn't admit it. They wouldn't tell anybody. You know, but the Lord put a finger on it. You know, and the Lord allowed us to go and talk to these people and say, "That's your problem." You know, and the people did. The people did admit. You know, and I don't know what. You know, I did an explosion in the church in a way. You know, and I think they are still, you know, trying to resolve it. And I think few people will leave and few people will remain. You know, but we are not homosexual friendly, are we?
That's right.
No way. No way.
By the way. We are not talking about the people.
People,
that's
exactly.
Right.
That somebody cannot come in,
that's right,
and repent, and we can pray,
yeah,
and fight with the brother and stay, you know what I mean, and help.
Right.
But we are not saying it's normal.
Exactly.
We are not saying it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
We are not saying it's you've been born like this and you can remain and we suffer, you know, just make sure and blah, blah, blah. No. So we love what about narcomans? Is they called narcomans? Drug addict?
Oh, narcotic.
Yeah, drug addict, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, like an addict. We welcome them, don't we? In the sense of come, we can pray with you. We can be on the knees and they cry and we can cry with them and we can suffer with them and all this. So it's not that we say if you are homosexual or if you are addict or if you are, you know, divorced or whatever problem you have, alcoholic, don't ever come to church. No, do come. But please don't say that you are condemned or judged because you see all these people who are not on drugs. Somebody asked me before and they said, well, you know, somebody from church actually say, what if a person comes to your fellowship and they see all of you being dressed the way you are and dealing with the kids the way you're dealing with the kids and they are dressed differently and they don't have kids under control? Don't you think they will feel, you know, kind of bad or different? I said, well, I hope so. Isn't it so?
Yeah.
I hope so. I mean, the church should have a salt which would provoke some.
Amen.
How does the scripture go in English? That we are, for some,
unto
righteousness, not some,
to death.
So it's to somebody, it smells good.
Mm.
And it inspires them.
Amen.
And some will get offended.
Amen.
We are trying to be politically correct.
Yes,
yes, yes, you are trying to be politically correct.
Everybody is now. Don't say this, don't say this, don't say that. You know, we don't have brainstorming anymore. Do you know brainstorming? Yeah, people sit down in a meeting and they have a brainstorming to discuss a
study.
No more. It's a thought shower.
Oh.
Because brainstorming in English, it's forbidden in England.
Hmm.
Yeah. Because they say that that the epileptic people could get offended. Yes, that we are talking about something happening in the brain.
Really?
And by the way, the epileptic people in England, they have complained and they said, "Don't be ridiculous." We of course are not offended. It's rubbish.
Yeah.
But Google it out. So in the meetings, we are not supposed to use brainstorming anymore, but thought shower. Until somebody else finds something different, offending about shower, you know, and then it'll become
thought storm.
Thought storm.
All the people would be offended with shower.
Yeah. So you know, the thing is, we are trying to be politically correct, which means. Not to offend anybody. We are. What would be the word? We are compromising, and we are our tools, our weapons. You know, there's no sharpness. There's no anything. There's nothing. It's weakened. You know what I mean? We cannot say anything. But isn't it that the word of God should come? And yes, it should bring a judgment.
Amen.
It should bring the judgment. How did John the Baptist? How did Jesus start? Come to me, I love you so much. Because the kingdom is nigh. Huh? Or, I love you, come to me, you know, I was longing for you, because the kingdom is nigh. Was it so?
No.
How did it go?
Pain.
Was it?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Aren't you being too hard?
You put a bypass.
Oh. Yeah. You know, repent.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that repenting is something bad.
Yeah.
You know why? We don't see the goal. Do you remember what I told you about the anchor?
Yes.
There's this anchor there.
Come on.
There's this anchor there. And the anchor is in the Holy of Holies, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, you will not be able to keep repenting if you don't see the end of it.
That's right.
You won't have the strength.
Mm-hmm.
You will give up on the way.
That's right.
You won't be able
mm-hmm.
unless you have a vision.
Yeah.
You won't endure it, brethren. So first of all, get hold of the vision, as mentioned here. Amen? Get hold of the vision, and the vision will help you to overcome every compromise and deception. Do you know how you discern? We did talk about it, wasn't it? Wasn't it a good lesson? How do we discern? Because we need to become spoiled. We need to become spoiled by good. By honey and butter. You know what I mean? The people, the experts, I don't know what they do. I think they are experts in food. I know they are experts on wine, you know, and things. And they go and they look at it and they taste it. I couldn't tell the difference, I'm sure. You know, I could perhaps certain food, I can tell you, well, I think it's a fresh ham or not, you know. But how do you think they train these people?
With the real.
Hmm?
With the real.
With the best.
Yeah.
With the best.
Yeah.
They drink the best and compare it against. They taste it, they spoil them.
Yeah.
They spoil them with a good wine.
Mm.
You know. They spoil them with a good food of a certain thing. The money, the counterfeit people.
Yeah.
How do they teach them? Do you think they teach them and show them all the different types of counterfeit? No. They just let them work with the real money all the time. And they work with the real stuff. And then, when they get something, often they cannot tell why. But they know it's different.
Yeah.
They say, look at this. I think it's counterfeit. I say, why? I don't know.
Yeah.
It just smells different.
Yeah.
It just tastes different, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It feels different,
yeah.
You know? And the children. You know, we have situations in churches or in conferences, and little kids You know, little children come and somebody saying something, and the children would come and say, "Daddy, was it okay?" And he sometimes wouldn't want to disclose everything, you know? Mm-hmm. So you don't know how to go about it and say, "Well, what did you observe?" "I don't know. I don't know what I observed, but I observed something is wrong." They said, "Well, I think you have well observed."
Amen.
So ask the Lord if he can show you what it is, and if he can, I can confirm it.
Yeah.
And if he not, maybe you're too young for it. So let's see. Amen?
Amen.
So you throw it back on them or on the kids.
Yeah.
But they can come and say, it's a kind of, don't know why, there is something wrong. Spit it out.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So we need to become spoiled by division.
Mm.
We need to spend some time in our looking forward.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't visualize yourself part of the 144,000, part of the two witnesses, part of the people who are throwing the crown to the throne, if you are not visualizing yourself for meeting with John and Peter and Moses and all these people and David, if you don't believe you will be in this company, or you can be actually, if you don't believe it, if you don't take the energy out of there, you won't be able to endure.
That's right.
But then of course you so much enjoy the end of it that it gives you energy, and then the idea of I could lose it, and it's a real thing, I could lose it, brethren. It is possible not to make it. We've got many examples. People, many, many, many examples. So the tabernacle is starting with brass. Isn't it?
Aye.
It's double S, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it goes from brass, which is judgment. What do people see when they approach tabernacle? What do they see when they approach tabernacle? What is it? Do they see gold? They don't see gold.
Hmm.
What do they see?
Linen.
Huh?
Linen.
White linen.
And that's brass.
And brass.
That's silver.
The fire.
Huh?
Fire.
They can see if there is a good fire. They can see above the tabernacle the smoke.
Yeah.
That's the reason. One of the reasons why God gave it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Did you realize it?
Yeah.
One of the reasons why God gave the fire and the cloud is for the people outside. What's the word? Water their mouth? Yeah? That they would see there's a power. There's something in there. Amen? There's something. When Brother Dusil came first time and he was teaching, I understood maybe 5% of it.
Oh, yeah.
It was all new.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense to me in a sense of too many things. But there was something in me, you know.
Right.
I don't know what it is, but I want it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I want it. I see something real in it. Amen. There's something real. Whatever the price is, let me pay. You know, I want it. Amen. And I'm willing to do something because I want it. There is a power. There is something which pricked my interest. Amen. So it's like the fire. You don't fully understand the context of it, but you see the cloud and the glory above the tabernacle. But if you want to see inside, you can't. You can't. If you are not born again, you can't even see the kingdom. Isn't it in John 3? If you are not born again, you can't even see it. You can intellectualize it, you can know the Bible. I'm sure there are intellectual people who know the Bible more than any of us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they go to theology books and they know Hebrew and they know Greek and they know it there and back in history, you know, and they can perhaps beat all of us. Yeah, you know, and noting the genealogies and whatever details. But if you're not born again, you can't even see it. You don't, you know, you can't perceive it. You can't understand it. Your inner eyes would not be open to it. You cannot see it. The only thing you could see, and maybe you don't like, would be the brass. These, how do you call them? Is it column? No, it's a...
Post sockets.
Post? Post?
No.
Yeah. The brass, the brazen pillars. Okay, so pillars would be the word. Fine. So the pillars. What's the material?
Brass.
The brass, isn't it? Yeah. Brass. And by the way, they are in sockets, aren't they?
Yeah.
What's the sockets?
Silver.
No.
You are one page. You are here. This is the wooden boards, golden and silver sockets. Here are
silver sockets.
But here are brass sockets. You know, so the whole thing is brass sockets and brass pillars. So what I mean is, the first step is, it's judgment,
yeah.
And it's rooted in judgment.
Yeah.
However, the good news is, there's a bit of silver there.
Yeah.
On the top.
Yeah, isn't it? So you've got brass, you've got brass, but here,
silver.
Okay? So, brass and brass. So, it's brazen to show you that you have to come through judgment. You know, we try to avoid it. We try to avoid it, especially these days with the political correctness.
Yes.
You know, we don't... I mean, if you go just a few years back, maybe 50, maybe 60, for sure 100, and you listen to some of the preachings, you know, isn't that what they were preaching all the time? We need to repent, we need to repent. And the people were coming and sitting there on the benches, you know, and they were saying, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. And they were giving their lives to God. Now people would come and say, Jesus loves you. He can forgive you everything. It's fine. He loves you. You don't need to be alone. You know, do you play golf? No? Okay, anyway. Do you have kids?
Yeah.
Oh, we have program for our kids. We have golf too, but if you don't play, that's fine. You know, we have program for wives, and we have this and this and this.
Yeah,
and Jesus loves you. You can come. Oh, don't change your dress. You know, we love people the way you are. You know, we are trying to so-called reach the people. Is it? Maybe it's not England.
No, not just England.
No, England. Okay, sorry. Anyway, in our country. So the idea is, the people are never really saved.
Yes,
that's true.
Yes, really.
That's true.
The people are never really saved.
That's right.
You know, they are never really saved, and because they, you know, I hope I won't take it too far. I hope you understand me. If you believe that people are saved just because they came to this meeting and they prayed in the spirit with somebody, they are saved.
No.
It's false doctrine.
That's right.
And the people, and for years and years and years, they are believing and they are being told. So, you know, they come and say, well, I feel this thing, the hungry for God. And they go to the pastor or to the whoever. And they say, you know, I'm not sure I'm saved. You know, and they say, well, I remember I was sitting there with you 10 years back that evening. You remember? Yeah, I remember everything. And you did say the prayer, didn't you? Yeah, I did. Well, actually, you did, and I said, amen. Well, anyway, you know. And I said, well, if you did say this prayer, this is it.
Uh-huh.
Right.
You're saved. Yeah, and some churches, they do certificate of salvation. They give certificate of salvation. They give certificate of baptism. They do. They give the date on it, and saved. And then you come to heaven. Well, you don't, but you know what I mean. If I use this joke type of situation, you knock on the gate, you know, and the Saint Peter opens the door. You know how it goes in the jokes, right? Of course, it won't be the case. But you would come there and show the certificate, and they would just slam the door and say, not valid here. And then you would come back to the pastor, and you say, well, pastor, did it work? And I say, well, join me in the hell then.
Woo!
No. These people are putting... It's like a doctor. You know, it's like a doctor giving a false medicine. Before, the person at least knew they are in trouble. Now, they believe they are being cured. So they don't do anything about it because they think they're already in the process of being cured. They say, well, I see the symptoms. Yeah, I'm already in treatment. Oh, good. You're not. You're not in treatment. You're still in the same trouble. And if nothing happens and changes, you will die. And you'll die forever. So there's guilt on the church.
Jesus.
If we reject judgment, if we reject the repentance message, if we reject the death to self message, and we just preach the welcome, we love you, play golf with us.
Yeah.
They have a golf program.
Yeah,
I've seen a church and they offer, you know, and they have things for golfers and they have things for this and things for this, you know. You almost have to learn to play golf, not to be feeling bad in that church, I suppose. No, seriously, on a serious note there. The brass, let's understand, you know what brass is judgment, isn't it? Where do we go? Do I need to read Exodus 27 to show you all, everybody know? Well, let me quickly read it.
Yeah,
I have it handy here. And thou shalt make, it's 27, 9 to 11. I'm sorry, brother. Just always told me, Martin, you talk too fast. Exodus 27:9-11.
Thank you.
And thou shalt make the court of the tabernacle for the south side southward. There shall be hangings for the court of fine twin linen, and of 100 cubits long for one side. And the 20 pillars, thereof, and their 20 sockets shall be of brass. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets shall be of silver. And likewise, for the north side in length, there should be hangings of 100 cubits long, and his 20 pillars and their 20 sockets of brass, the hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver. Amen?
Amen.
So, that's, you know, that's the idea. I put it from the different way a little bit, like here, and then you would have the linen hanging there, you know, the silver hooks and the linen hanging, right? And what's the color of the linen?
White.
What is it showing?
Righteousness.
Yeah. Purity.
Light.
Yeah, light. So what do people see from outside?
They should
see righteousness. Isn't it that they should come to church and they should see righteousness?
Yeah.
You know, when they come to church and see worldliness, what do they think? What do they get inspired by? Why do we want to be the same? You know, why do I want to tear my pants just to be like the world? You know, or hang them the way they do these days. Now I know what it is, but I used to, you know, come to, almost, I didn't fully, you know, but you would come to this person and say, you know, I mean, it's friendly, isn't it? If you see somebody and they leave, you know, the men's room or ladies' room and they kind of put something wrong, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Shirt is out or something, you gently come and say, your shirt is out, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, thank you, and he would pull it in. You know, these days you don't know. You would walk to lady and say, you've forgotten your skirt somewhere. You know, she walks out in tights. And you would think, you know, you would say, hey, you must have forgotten your skirt in the ladies' room. You know, you don't do it these days because you realize actually she didn't forget it on purpose.
Yeah, right.
You feel embarrassed on her behalf, isn't it? You know what I mean? And God created ladies so beautiful, and the way they are dressed is so beautiful, and they say, why? Who has bewitched you?
Okay.
Who has bewitched you?
Right.
That you think this is beautiful.
That's right.
You know what I mean? You walk in this way and say, you would be such a beautiful lady if you just dress up girl. You know, you look at the girl and say, hey, you have a potential to be a beautiful girl. Why do you do these things? I mean, just, you know what I mean? Make it worse. The boy, you know, honestly, I think he has a diaper. Yes, they walk. Anything, he must have a problem because the way they are walking, the trousers, they are half down. You know what I mean? Is it here in the UK too?
Oh, yes!
In the church!
In the church?
Yes!
Oh, jeepers.
I cannot talk about it.
You need to bring a bigger baskets to the bathroom for bigger diapers. You know, to be replaced. Maybe the people have some health issues and they need diaper. I don't know. You know. Do ask. Well, maybe don't. Anyway. You know. So the thing is. And first of all, I feel sorry. I see this and I feel sorry you know, who made you believe that this is nice? I mean, when a decent girl looks at you, honey, you know, she must be kind of laughing in a way, halfway laughing and halfway thinking sorry for you.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, I don't know, it's just, it's great, isn't it? And so, they need to come to church and they need to see we are free. I can, you know, I can walk free, I can dress normally, I don't need to do any crazy things, I can have things which plus minus fit me, you know what I mean, that it's not too big, you know, I'm fine, I have some trousers, you know, and they are not fitting exactly, and I'll be struggling, you know, and I say, well, it's okay, it's about right, you know, I can fix it with a belt or something, and then people go and they buy a clothes which is twice their size. It must be very uncomfortable, I think, don't you? It must be very uncomfortable to wear it and to walk in it. So, the whole thing, they need to see righteousness. They need to walk in the church and see we move and we speak to each other a certain way. The children, you know, they need hope. They don't know what to do with the kids. They have taken all the instructions away. It's only the psychologists telling them the very opposite than the Bible.
Yeah.
Don't spank your kids. You would break their spirit.
Right.
That's what they say. You don't control them. Don't do. And then poor parents, they have unruly children and they don't know what to do. Of course. And I feel sorry for them. I remember Brother Radek, it was, if I'm not mistaken, in a shopping mall, you know, with a lady. And the lady and the boy spinning around, you know, kicking like a beetle if you turn it upside down, you know, and spinning there, kicking all directions, you know, screaming. The lady obviously embarrassed standing there. Am I saying it right? She didn't know what to do. Radek had a mercy, you know, walked to her and said, "You need help? Just if you know how to." He grabbed the boys and said, "And you stop it and don't do this again to mother." He just took advantage of it, grabs the boy, thank you, and walked away. Isn't it so? You know? And they have no hope. They don't know what to do. She would be standing there and they said, don't do anything because you could break the spirit. I wish you would. That's the spirit. That's the only thing they're right about. It is a spirit, and yes, you better break it, you know. So they come to church, and they should see that there is a hope for their children.
That's right.
You know, they say people cannot, children sit on, I mean, 3 years child cannot sit here on a conference at a meeting over and over, no?
Not true.
What do we do?
Yeah.
All the children, by the way, girls, you're supposed to be rebelling. What are you doing here? Taking notes? Enjoying yourself smiling? You're not supposed to. You're supposed to find your parents, don't you know that?
They
need to come, and they need to come to church for hope. They need to see the white linen. They need to see and say, yes, there is a level of righteousness. Yes, there is a hope. It's possible. Yes, I won't see marriage. I won't see the marriage the way they, you know, I won't see how things are. You know, there are people there, and we think they are, because they are pretending, they are strong in them. They're actually crying and say, is there help?
That's right.
The whole creation is waiting.
That's right.
And yearning and longing to see the sons of God. They don't care for a mirror.
That's right.
We are not supposed to be mirrors, you know that? When they see us, they see themselves. They need to see something different. Amen?
Yeah.
People say, if you want to reach the drug addicts or these people, you have to be like them.
No.
Do you know a man who I believe was the most anointed in the whole church history I know in reaching those type of people? David Wilkerson, wasn't he?
Right, yeah.
God specially anointed him to be able to go and talk to these people. And you know how he walked to them and he had his jeans tear apart? You remember his long hair and tattoos all around?
No.
Of course not. He was walking with a suit and a Bible all the time.
That's right.
And he reached them in his suit.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So it's life from the hell. No need. The people actually seeing him They've seen the reality and the power of God.
That's right.
God anointed him and God did send him to do this part of the job.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, people, they need to see Lennon and they need to hear the word. And yes, they will not be feeling good. You are not supposed to come to church to feel good.
Right.
You know, I heard a preacher and he said, you know, these old churches, you came to the church and you feel bad. When you come to our church and you leave, you will feel better than when you entered. There's motivational speakers, Joel Osteen and all this. What's the lady's name? This Joyce Meyer and all these other things.
Terrible.
Anyway, so please, and you know what is the problem? It's coming to us too. When people speak from the Bible, and we are not feeling good, you are feeling, you know, instead of repenting, you start attacking the preacher. You start attacking the words. Hey, it's too harsh. It's too judgmental. It's too this. It's too this. It's too that. You know what I mean?
Mm.
But it's supposed to bring you. It's supposed to bring you different. Honestly, if I speak here and I condemn smoking, most of you would have no problem with the word, and you would say hallelujah, and it's all great. Because it's not a problem of most of you.
Yes. Yes.
And you wouldn't think it's a judgmental word, you would feel fine with it, and you would say, yes, amen, that's what we preach in the church.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Once I touch or somebody touches thing you struggle with,
mm-hmm.
the word is hard.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus was teaching, and everybody was in, you know, and when he started to teach, they all got offended. So why do we say we shouldn't speak the way that people wouldn't be offended?
Amen.
When Jesus did.
Amen.
You know, you are not speaking bad to people, you love them, you know, you cry for them, your heart goes out and reaches them, but don't be afraid of the brass, because that's the way to go to God.
Amen.
You cannot make it to the goal unless you go via brass.
Amen.
And the whole outer court is brass.
That's right, yeah. Sir.
It's brazen. Amen. We cannot help it. Brethren, the brass is important for us. Let's go to Numbers 21. Let's talk about the brass a bit more, if you don't mind. Is it okay if I speak more brass?
Go on, yes. More brass.
Brass, all over this place. We will bring it higher, don't worry. Because
yes.
If it's all about brass and we never move on,
yes. Okay.
We have missed the point. But we are not ready to miss the point, are we?
Yes.
21, Numbers 21.
Right.
21.
Hallelujah.
My note is saying Numbers 21, so it must be there. Where do we start? Four. Let's start at four. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way.
Of the way, yes.
But it's history. It's not happening today, is it?
No, thank God.
The heart or the soul of the people was discouraged because of the way.
Oh, yeah, it's happening.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, what happens next? The heart of the people is discouraged because the way is long, they have a problem and all these things. So what is happening next?
Turning back.
They speak against Moses. They speak against Moses. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?
Oh my God.
Doesn't that happen again?
Yes.
Except Moses has different names these days.
Yes.
You know, but still Moses is still God.
Yes.
You know, it's the different leadership, prophetic words and these things. You know, the word, the message, the different ministry. Because the souls of people are weary. You know, they hope for quick solution, quick resolution. I came to this word, I heard it. So tomorrow, well, okay, I'm willing to carry it till the day after tomorrow. Well, I'm really willing. Maybe I'll give it a week. I'll give it a month. You know what I mean? And then it goes days.
They went to McDonald's drive-thru.
McDonald's drive-thru, exactly. You know. So, and no, no, it's true. The whole system these days is fast. Do you know what a fast does? It compromises quality.
That's right.
Because you cannot achieve both at the same time.
Yes.
Certain things, they just need time, and you cannot fake it. And people don't allow the time. They want to have the same result. It's not the same, it's similar. Prefabricate. You know, you can have a. Do you know you can have a word preaching generated these days?
Preaching what?
Generated preaching.
Preaching generated.
You put few keywords, and there's
what?
A generator. Yes.
You mean
preaching?
Huh? You mean internet circles?
I mean preaching for your Sunday. In no time, just put few key messages, and it does the whole thing. You can have thesis. You don't know that for school. You can say, I want to have a thesis on eye operation, blah, 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 and say, okay, and it asks you few questions, and you put few keywords and things, you know, and it creates a, and they ask you how many pages, say 20 pages. Yes, it creates a thesis for you. Why are you working, guys? Come on, doctors. You know, and there's pictures there. You have all the pictures, you have the graphs, you have the text, you have the conclusion. You haven't seen it yet? You didn't see it?
No.
No. Stop studying. Stop researching. You know, don't worry about it. Generate it. Stop spending the time with the Lord. Stop asking Him. You can generate a message. You know, and it looks very professional. It looks very good. It sounds very good. It has all the good stuff, and it's that, and you know, it throws in Greek, and it does this and that, and here and there. You know, but how was it with Elijah and the Lord wasn't in it?
Amen. Yes.
Big noise. A lot of things, and the Lord wasn't in it. Didn't we hear it this week, this weekend?
Yes.
You know, so we want to do things fast, and when it takes long, we lose the patience. And then we start complaining, I have left the world, Egypt that is. I have left the world and nothing has happened. You know, and I'm here now in desert. I'm in a worse place than I was before. That's what people say. And then they say, well, it's the wrong message. We are preaching dessert all the time. We are preaching brass all the time. You know, we should be preaching all these beautiful things and encourage the people and all this. And I'm pro encouraging people. And I'm pro talking about the vision. We do need to keep eye on the vision. We do need to encourage ourselves. But the brass is part of the game, brother. You know, so they start complaining about Moses and about this and that. And, you know, the people... Moses are not perfect, so they give them usually some opportunity here and there that they would complain about, you know, and they kind of take this little thing and then they try to discredit the whole message and ideally to return back to Egypt or become like the other nations. Denominations? Anyway. So, you know, and that's what we are fighting with. So, how did it go? There is no breath, neither there is any water, and our soul loathes this light breath. We don't like it anymore. You know, actually, brethren, it's a funny thing. We need to be this kind of strange people that like it.
Yeah.
That like certain pressure. That actually, in a way, enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they know it's doing something in them. They know it's deepening.
Yeah.
You know, some parents, they don't want to expose children to pressure. And so if you don't expose your children to pressure, they will never go deeper. They don't want to expose the children to loneliness. Well, he feels lonely when he has to stay an hour or 2 hours at home alone. Yeah, I did stay lonely. Yes, I know it feels bad. It's not good. It's not nice. It's not pleasant. But how do you find the Lord if you are not lonely sometimes? How do you overcome loneliness if you are never left alone?
Yes.
And some children, they are being hit or hurt by somebody. And we do all the effort to protect them from being hit and hurt. And he said, no, you need to suffer as part of the game. You know, and they expect, they come from somewhere, somebody has hurt them, and they expect you to, you know, go and rush. And he said, well, and how did you, what did you do about it? Well, I got, you know, very unhappy. You need to repent. What? I was hoping for some pity, for some mercy. And you're telling me, I say, you know, honey, God gave you opportunity. His mercy for God. He did send somebody who would spit into your face. Thank you, Jesus. Because you're living in an environment where nobody will spit in your face. So God had to send you outside and find a person who is wicked enough that he would be able to use to do this to you. You know, and say, now it's your chance to overcome it. What will we do about it? How do you feel about this person? What did you want to happen to this person? What did you wish? When he turns, he would hit a pole? What do you think? Why did he spit into your face right away? What do you think? How is his mother and father? How does this child and boy live? Please. You know what I mean? How is he? And you need to teach them that they would have mercy. And they say, oh God. What must have motivated this boy or girl to be so nasty? I feel so sorry for them. Maybe nobody prays with them at home. Maybe when they go to sleep, maybe nobody's there to sing them a song. You know what I mean? And you teach the children to overcome.
Yeah.
You teach the children to be Christians. I mean real stuff. Not churchgoers.
Yes, amen.
You know, we take it too lightly. We don't put the effort into our children. I think Brother Burr was saying, we end up teaching our children being good citizens. That's not enough. That's not what God's asking us to do. We don't want to be good people, do we?
Yes. We want to be Jesus, God people.
Amen. Sons of
God.
We want to be sons of God. Good people is not enough. Good citizens is not good enough. You know, if your aim is that your daughter is not pregnant by 17 and the boy is not on drugs and you're happy, that's the case, it's not enough.
It's not at all.
You know, I mean, if you don't teach the children to hear from the Lord, what did the Lord speak to you? What did the Lord speak to you? And you know, the children sometimes come and say, Daddy, I didn't know. And I say, well, you can choose whether I will give you spanking. If it's, you know, a small child, say, I'll give you spanking. And you choose the reason. Okay, was it because you disobeyed? Or was it because you were not sensitive to the Holy Ghost that you even didn't know? I don't care. You choose. You know what I mean? Sometimes we excuse them because they didn't know. I didn't know. And I said, how come you didn't know? Don't tell me there was the Holy Ghost tapping on your shoulder and telling you, this is not right. This is not right. What have you done to avoid hearing this? Isn't it so?
Yes.
They think they find an excuse that they didn't hear. But my question is, how come you are not hearing God? Where's your sensitivity to the Holy Ghost? You need, honey, to learn to walk and hear God. You know, I think we settle for too low. We don't fight physically with wives and husbands, and we believe that's Christian. You know what I mean? We don't fight physically. We don't hit, at least most of us. You know. And people think, yeah, this is it, as being Christian. Is that... are you settling for this?
No.
You know? Then the parents argue, and they argue, but they don't shout too loud. They don't shout too loud, you know? And they think, yeah, this is it, you know? Are you settling for this?
No.
You know, or maybe we can make it to the point that we don't argue anymore, or maybe not too much. And we say, this is it. Are you flowing?
Yes.
Are you flowing, brethren, in a spirit, with a wife and husband? Are you, man, taking the right position you are supposed to in the house? Is the woman submitting the way she should? I mean, with all respect, we are to be examples and show the people the relationship between Christ and the church. So unless the husband behaves the way Christ should to the church, he's falling short and he needs to repent. You know, brother, who was it this morning? Was it a prayer meeting? I think it was a prayer meeting. You mentioned Brother and Sister Lucille, you know. And it was not only Sister Mavis, which who knows know what we are talking about. The way she was submitting, the way she was, you know, and we should perhaps talk about it more. I know some of you don't want to follow men, but I don't care, I want to, you know. I actually want to follow not only men, I want to follow women too. You know.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Because I know where they are going.
That's right.
You know, and Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Right. So, and I don't think it was reserved for Paul only. So I'm man follower. Hello, I'm man follower. And John Haas too. You know, I follow this one too. Yeah, some people already made it, true. Amen. So I'm a follower. Call me follower. You know. And if you call me Paulite and Cecilite and Birdlite and Joseph-lite, you are not offending me. I take it as an honor. Amen. And if you want, come to me, and I have quite a big list of people I would like to follow. You know, some of them are dead a few hundred years already. If that doesn't matter, I still don't follow, and I'm still not reaching in many ways. So I still have much to follow. You know. So anyway, where was I? Sister Mavis. So, you know, I was talking about Sister Mavis, and the way she was, you know, the way she was so spiritual, so strong, and yet so submissive. You would think she's not there. You know, we are in a meeting, Brother Lucille's talking, and you would think she's not there, right? She would be, you know, she wouldn't have a need to, you know, and men are talking. And honestly, and I hope you don't get offended, I think she would talk more sense than many of us men who were talking there. Can we take it?
Yeah.
You know? And yes, she wouldn't be jumping, she wouldn't be talking, she would let Brother Lucille and us, the people who are trying to, you know, aspire and grow and things. And then she would open the mouth and just add a little something and go, you know. You know what I mean? There's this combination of wisdom and submission. And then you see Brother Lucille and the way he was, you know, nurturing her. I'm using your word from this morning. Nurturing her and taking care of her, you know, and this is just as if he had nothing else to do but her. You know what I mean? And the way they go, and the way they flow, and the way they add, you know, and they used to call us, and they were sometimes both on the phone, and you talk to them, and you say, it's just unbelievable, you know, so if you are not fighting physically at home, and we settle for this, I'm not, you know, and just because I'm not there, I'm not giving up.
Amen.
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 I'm not giving up. I want to flow. I want to say, I want to have thought and my wife finish it. I want to thank you. I'm collecting those. Thank you. So, the thing is, you know, if you face the brass and the linen, you are not supposed to feel good. You are supposed to feel bad. You know that? You are supposed to feel bad because it shows you the darkness in you. You are confronted. You know, do you know the story how Jesus met the fishermen, the professionals? You know. And they are fishing the whole night, isn't it? Isn't it so? You know, they're fishing the whole night. And they would come and just come tired, you know, and Jesus says, why don't you throw the net on the right side of the boat? Jesus, I mean, with all due respect, that's a trade. And I'm older than you, you know, and I've been here in this business, you know. However, on your word, I'll do it. Amen? And they did. And they pulled out the net. It was full of fish. What did they see? They've seen God in action. What else did they see? What did Peter see?
He saw his wretchedness.
Yes! He's seen his wretchedness. He's seen his darkness. Do you know why I know? What did he say? He said, thank you, Jesus. Hey, that's cool. No. He says, depart from me, Lord. Because I'm a wretched man. You know what I mean? That's when you come into the presence of the Lord. You know, somebody's asking, what will you say? Kids are asking me all the time, what will you say when you meet Jesus? You know, and I say, I'm not sure I'll say anything. You know, maybe I'll be there, you know, and he will lift me, he'll have to lift me up, I don't know, you know. But you see in the light, you see your wretchedness, and people don't like it. They like the light, they don't like the light. They like to hide in the darkness.
Yes.
So in the church, there should be so much light that it will be uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to hide your sin.
Yes.
People should feel uncomfortable in the church if they want to hide their sin and not to deal with it.
Yes.
And we try to accommodate them and make them feel very comfortable. Chairs, fine. That's all right. Comfortable chairs and prop. All right. But comfortable preaching? No, I'm against.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
We do want to feel challenged. We want to feel exposed. We want to feel convicted. We want this thing to come and say, Oh God, I thought I'm better, but in the light of your righteousness, you know, when I see you on the cross, and they do this to you, and you pray for the people, and I'm here complaining about his brother took my chair. You know what I mean? Or did this or did that to me. It's just this little something, and I, you know, and I feel, and I almost would send an email to everybody to pray for me. You know, I lost a job, or somebody was mean to me, or, you know, they took my pencil, my favorite pencil. You know, I tell my kids, and I said, guys, I mean, you have to start being serious. You know, you cannot be coming to church, reading all this, clapping hands, and behave like Christians, and at home, he takes a pen and he fights him back. You can miss your salvation. Seriously. You think they are innocent because they are just young age? No. And I tell them, children, if she takes away your, or he takes away your pen, go find another one and give it to him.
Amen.
Isn't it true?
Yeah.
I mean, what are we teaching? What is our standard? What is the standard? What is the linen we are supposed to face? What is the brass? I mean, are we lowering the standard just to able to withstand the pressure? But this is what church is doing. Lowering the standard that you can withstand the pressure. But you're not supposed to withstand the pressure, you're supposed to break. You're supposed to repent, you're supposed to change. And yes, you cannot make it. You cannot endure. You are not supposed to endure it. You are supposed to break and say, God, I'm a wretched man.
That's right.
You are supposed to understand the depth of your wretchedness, because only then the next steps can come. Praise the Lord. I still have some time, right? And the Lord sent fiery serpents. Oh my. Long journey. Help us. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Yes. It's not only history, brethren. There are people here who are not here anymore. And there are people here who are sitting here, might not be here anymore when we come next time. Yes. We've seen it over and over. It's your choice, brethren. And some people made their choice. And therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. Praise God. They came to their senses. We have sinned. For we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people, and God didn't take the serpents away. They stayed there. The circumstances remain the same. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Brethren, the serpents are still there. The serpents are still there. Alright? They are still there. I'm learning. That everyone when we travel with Brother Chuck and when he's in Czech, we need to translate for him. So I'm learning all these words. And Moses made a serpent of brass. Hear the brass again. You know, sometimes you pray, and our concept is, Lord, remove the trouble.
That's right.
Yeah. Lord, remove the problems. But Lord says, no, I let you overcome it.
That's right.
When they fasted and prayed in Esther, what was the solution? Arm yourself.
That's right.
And fight.
That's right.
They didn't change the law. They didn't change the enemy. We say, Lord, remove the sin. Remove the devil. And the Lord says, no, he will remain. But I will give you ability to overcome it.
That's right.
And then, whatever serpent comes to you, the serpent will go away.
That's right.
Not him again. Yeah, you should be known in heavens.
That's right.
And in hell as well. And they, you know, the devil sends the demon to you and says, please, not this brother, he sends me again, or she sends me like the other one, you know, whoever was sent against him never came back. Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
we should have a reputation.
Yeah.
In,
yeah.
We should have a reputation in hell as well as in heaven.
That's yeah. Right.
Amen. Amen. Yes. So, God is not going to remove the world.
Yes.
I don't pray that you would take them out of the world.
Yes.
Huh? So yes, the serpents will be all around, the serpents will be there, the fear, the darts will be there, but he says, you can arm yourself. And then they came and they couldn't do anything to Jesus. He had to lay his life down. They couldn't touch him. They couldn't do anything. The devil came and he was tempting him, you know. And he couldn't win. He couldn't overcome. Was it that the Lord didn't allow the devil to go to Jesus? Oh no, he was there all the time. Yeah. All the time. Mm. All the time, all the time. The devils will be there all the time, all the time, all the time. Yeah. So don't pray for a sin to disappear. Don't pray for your kids that they would not have anything bad around them. That's not reality.
Yes.
Pray that they are immune. And that they can overcome. That they can hate the wickedness. We have to hate wickedness. It's like, you know, we speak homosexuality and we would like to spiritualize it. Unfortunately, it's not the case. I'm sorry.
That's right, sir.
You know, but there's one thing, and I suppose many of you, if that's something which you show to me, you know, on a picture, and it doesn't need to be explicit, you know, my stomach goes upside down. You know, it's just... you know what I mean? It's disgusting, isn't it? You know? You look at this, and it's supposed to be disgusting. Sin is something you look at, and you say, gross. I mean, my goodness. You know what I mean? You just... You know, give me a certain type of dress. You know? And just, I wouldn't wear it because I feel so embarrassed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why would I have, you know, things written here and pictured there and things there? And I said, why do you want to invite all the devils? You find the devils and you invite them. You know what I mean? You rebuke the spirit of sensuality. Well, it's just to change your dress. I mean, that'll help a lot.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because you are sending the devil, you're confusing the hell. You are inviting and sending away, inviting and sending away. Because in part of you, you're saying, welcome.
Yes.
I'm available. So they come and then you rebuke them and say, what? You know? And then you rebuke them and they kind of first, you know, stumble for a while and I said, no. By the rule and by the rules of the Spirit. We have a license, so sorry, your rebuke is not valid, and they walk in. And you pray and pray and wonder what's happening.
Hallelujah.
Tell this.
Amen.
There are certain laws, you know.
Hallelujah.
So the Lord hasn't changed it, the circumstances, but He said, take the brass serpent of brass. Why serpent of brass? And what they were supposed to do?
Look on it.
Yeah.
Look on it. Whoever will look on it. And you know, it's lifted. It speaks about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not only speaking about Jesus hanging on the cross and being lifted. Because it's the serpent. It's the serpent and it's brass. It's talking about their sin. My sin is before me. All the time. It's David saying, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, there's one thing. If you are bitten, you need to look at a sin and you need to confess it.
Mm.
You need to admit it.
Mm.
Don't give it other names.
Yes.
I'm very good in beating around a bush. You know, maybe I'm African too. I don't know. You know, but you know, I had some. I believe I'm immortal. You know, when I was 20, I had no problem with my body and all this. So I said, I need to do nothing. I need to do anything. And I also believe that Christians, we shouldn't do sports and things. So I put all this aside. And instead of walking, I use car and all this, and the body starts growing. And then the children run, and I try to run with them, you know. And the Lord started to talk to me. For a slow listening. You know, anyway, to make long story short, he said, move or die. You know, so I picked moving. I knew I needed to do something. And so I came, and in some place I found a guy who would help me. And I talked to him and said, listen, I need to do something. I said, what do you want? I said, I just want to be healthy. That's it. I don't need to be a sportsman. But, you know, can you help me to adjust a few things in my body? I said, sure. So let's look at you. Bend, you know. And I go like this and say, yeah. I said, yeah, start, go ahead. I said, that's it. I said, come on. He's looking at me and saying, are you serious? And I said, I'm very serious. And I said, reach more. I said, that's it. You know. And he goes, oh, you are in trouble. I didn't like the way he was commanding. You are in trouble. You are in bad shape. You are terrible. You know. And then he says, well, you can't bend. You're obese. And I said, wait a minute.
Don't go there.
Wait a minute. What do you mean obese? First of all, before I came here, I checked the internet. And there is this thing. You know? And there is the normal. That's the green. There is orange. It's overweight. You know. And there is this red. And there is obese. And then there is very red, severe obese. Right? And I'm actually still in the orange. Call me overweight, but do not call me obese. You know. And God has put this man into my life because he says, well, if you want to lie to yourself, I don't think we need to make business because you won't make it. And I was speechless. And he says, either you face it and we can do something about it, or we can give it different names, find excuses, beat around the bush, you know, and I can, and you can walk away and keep being what you are, you know. So I said, well, when these options are offered, I choose you to help me with my obesity.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And you have to look at the brass, you have to look at the serpent.
Mm.
You have to name it and say, yes, that's my problem.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes, I've got a problem.
Mm.
Yes, this is my sin. Yes, that's my rebellion. Brethren, if we lose the ability, you know, and I teach my children, and you know, and sometimes they do very good. And I'm very impressed with them sometimes. I come and say, hey, do you know what happened? You know, and they just tell me without beating around a bush. I'm very, especially Joshi, you know. I said, Joshi, what did you do? And he says, well, she took this, and I was so envious and so upset with her, you know, that I decided to revenge, you know, and do this. And I said, Joshi, actually, I'm very impressed. Well done. For admitting it and giving it the proper and right names. Yes, you wanted to revenge, yes. You know, and I think you're helpable. Is it a word?
Yeah.
If not, now it is. He's helpless. He can't be helped. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He can't be helped. Jesus said, if you said, I have sinned.
That's right.
You could be healed, but because you say you have no sin, your sin remains. Your sin remains. When we try to hide it, when we don't admit it, when we don't cry, when we don't come, you know, we never come to repentance, we never come to change, and this is what tabernacle is about. To take us from brass to gold. We would like to jump the queue, the lines for the Americans. We would like to jump it, right, but we can't. We have to go through the brass and silver and redemption. Amen? So this is the definition of brass. That you need to travel in the tabernacle and you need to come. Brethren, if we, what does it say? When we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive. But you have to confess it. And don't confess it. Don't take my lesson. Don't take my example. I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm a bad example. Alright? So don't take my bad example with saying I'm just overweight. You know? But I'm just trying, you know, just make it smaller. You know what I mean? Children, the same. Joseph. You know? You know the calling on your life, right? And others. And, you know, I see people, but I don't know why I called you. You know, just call it the way it is. You know, just, and other kids, you know, just name it the way it is. And resist the devil. He'll flee from you.
Amen.
But call it the way it is. There's no need for you to be teenagers. There's no need for you to be rebellious. It's not biblical.
Amen.
There's much higher calling. And just not fighting and not being on drugs and pregnant at 16, that's not the ultimate goal.
Yes.
That's way, way below what God has for you.
Amen. Amen.
That's way below. There's a calling upon your life. You are supposed to conquer the hell. You're supposed to overcome it in your life, and you're supposed to go, and God will talk to you, and you will conquer the hell. So, we are talking about receiving it, and about, you know, fully surrendering. You know what I mean? Fully surrendering. That's the thing. So when you look at the serpent, you admit your sin and say, God, I really need help. Search my heart and find if there's any wicked way in me. You know what I mean? Unless we come and face the serpent, unless we look at the brass and look at the linen. By the way, the linen is on silver hooks. So the righteousness is not our own. It's not self-righteousness. This is righteousness which is hauled there by what? Help me.
Redemption.
Amen. So the redemption is holding the righteousness, showing the righteousness was given from God.
Yes.
And we are talking about acknowledging. You know, in Psalm 32, David says, "I acknowledged my sin unto thee." Don't beat around the bush. Don't give it different names. I acknowledged my sin unto thee. You know, we speak about homosexuality here. I didn't. Lord did. I didn't give a dream. You know, we speak about this. And we would like to, you know, kind of put it in different words. No, brethren, this is homosexual spirit. And the homosexual spirit has a manifestation which we know, which is very bad. But it doesn't start there.
No.
It doesn't start there. It starts with a man not being a man and a woman not being a woman.
That's right. That's the beginning.
Many people are fighting homosexual spirit without willing to admit it.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, man is supposed to be man. And I don't mean brutal, of course not. Because God is not brutal. But man, stand there. Lift up. Lead by example. Be first. Alright? Be first up. And take care of the house. Right, be the one who will be there always ready. Right, don't put it on the wife. Don't you know, in the leadership. I think some of the problem is why the sisters are rising up where they are not supposed to. It's because the men are not there.
That's right.
They're filling a place which you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
We had a situation in our church fellowship very, very early. It's embarrassing, I'll say it anyway. I'll admit our sins. And we ended up having Sister Pavlina and Sister Christina teaching tabernacle.
Oh.
Regularly. on a regular basis. You know, somebody came. Somebody came and says, well, you have a problem with the women teaching in your church, you know. And I went to the Lord, and the Lord says, yes. And I said, what should we do with the women? And he says, there's nothing wrong with the women.
Why are you guys stepping up your positions?
You know what I mean? Men, we are sometimes seeing the women rising, and we think we need to put more force to put them down. No, we need to put more force to pick ourselves up.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, it's a homosexual spirit.
That's right.
If man is not man.
That's right. Yeah.
If man is not there to lay down his life for wife, for church, for children. Amen. If he is there, wishy-washy, lazy, weak, not able to overcome his body, not able to overcome his lust. It's just the beginning. Brethren, we can beat around the bush and say, well, we are maybe overweight. Or we can admit and say, God, help me and deliver me. I want to be man of God.
Amen.
I want to be the real thing.
Yes.
I want to be man. I want to step up into the place. I want to step up into the position. And brethren, it's a challenge in this hour because everything is unisex. Equality, equal dress, equal mind, equal positions. You know, we have passed law now in EU because the insurances, they calculated by their mathematics that women are better treating their lives. So for years, maybe you didn't know that, but life insurance for women is cheaper.
Yes.
It used to be. Forget it anymore. EU has passed a law. It's the discrimination of women. So now, all the insurances and all the EU countries have passed laws. It's outlawed. So women, we have blessed you so much that now we have raised your insurance to us. I'm not joking. You have heard it. Who has heard it? Yeah, quite a few people heard it. Yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it? It's laughing. We are saying this equal business. You know, it's a devil's business. It's devil's business. We are not equal. You know, and now where do we stop now? We are equal, men and women now.
No, we are different. I mean, who's better, men or women?
That's nonsense, isn't it? All this question is bad. It doesn't make sense.
Jesus.
Nobody's comparing whether you are better or worse, but we have different roles.
That's right.
Yeah. We have different roles.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen, and you might be laughing again, but do you know they are pregnant men?
Yes.
They are pregnant men. They have taken the baby. You know, the woman conceived, or they conceived it outside of the body, and they operated the womb into man, and they put the baby conceived outside, put it in the man, and the man is growing. I've seen him naked. I've seen him half naked. You know, I've seen the belly and his hairy chest.
Oh my God!
You know, and it's something so disgusting if you see a man, you know, with his manly hairy chest and this pregnant belly. I think he delivered by now. You know, I don't think he's delivered yet. So. You know what I mean? It is. Yeah, it works. Yeah.
You don't need to
Yeah. Anyway, you know, isn't it disgusting?
Jesus.
When man wants to become a woman, and woman wants to become a man.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, in the Philippines, in the Philippines, they had a Miss Philippines or Miss Asia. Have you heard about this?
She's
beautiful. She's beautiful. She's transgender.
Is it?
Yeah.
All transgender people.
I've seen it somewhere on news.
Yeah.
You know, and you have all these women walking there. You know, in this. It was a. I seen a picture in a newspaper. You know, and this man.
men, yeah.
You know, beauty contest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
I mean, it's a spirit.
It's a spirit.
It's a spirit. Homosexual spirit. Just right. They had a recently, and by the way, it's from England. You know, they have introduced a story. Yes, yes. Let's rebound. They have introduced a story. Now it's translated into chat. For children 3 years old. You know, prince. You know how the prince usually go? The prince wants to get married. Alright? And they invite all the princes from their countries. You know? And finally he picks one and blah 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 and a happy story. So this one, you know, is there and he still can't pick. You know, there's all these princesses. Finally one princess comes with a brother. You know, and he looks at the brother and says, hey, this is it. And then he marries the brother and finally they're happy. And you've seen a book, and the picture on the book is this one with a beard, long beard, one without a beard, kissing them with a heart.
My Jesus.
3 years old children. So, Bradley, now in Czech, if you want to obtain it, it's translated into Czech, you can have it too.
Teaching in school homosexuality.
You know what I mean?
It's part of the curriculum that we need.
I mean, and when we speak about homosexuality, we try to brush it aside.
Jesus.
I mean, it's a spirit, Bradley, it's a spirit. And if we are not recognizing it, if we are not willing to face the serpent, if we are not willing to admit it and say, God, help me. I do not want to be homosexual, I want to have nothing to do with it. But it means you men need to become men, and women, you need to become women.
Amen.
Amen? You do not want to support it. And don't pray that God will remove it. He won't, because this is the end of the time.
Yes.
It will. Darkness will become worse.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I don't think you would believe 2 years back that there would be a story for children 3 years old and prince marries prince.
Ooh.
Would you? Mm-hmm. Even now, some of you perhaps say, are you joking? Are you serious? Google it out. It's ridiculous. It's becoming ridiculous. Unisex. All right? And if we do not allow the brass and the linen, if we don't place before us the righteousness, and if we beat around the bush and we bite one another, and complain about this, and complain about it, and have problems about this, you know, and then we rise up and start fighting and doing things, and you're losing it. In the meantime, you should be repenting and getting a power and smiting the enemy.
That's right.
And the enemy is laughing because we are in our, you know, I like you, and in this way, and you do this, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? We are supposed to walk in righteousness. What we were talking here this weekend. You know what I mean? And we have a problem with the basic things. How do we run with horses?
Right.
How do we run with horses? Where do we get the power to overcome the enemy? God, I mean the whole creation. Somebody was saying here that the flowers, you know, they look at the sons of God and say, hey, it's another of them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
but I'm thinking the flowers are scared now a little bit and worried. And I say, do you think he'll make it, this one?
Yeah.
You know, I know the potential. I see the potential in him. Yeah, he can be the son of God, but don't you think he'll be another of those who gave up?
Jesus.
You know, the creation is
waiting.
Yeah. And waiting alone. I said, well, I've seen this and this and this one and that one. I've seen this sister. She has such a potential. She's becoming man. She's becoming brother. You know what I mean?
I have trouble on this.
If you see in yourself the need, sisters, the need to have a voice. You don't need
no
church doesn't need to explain Jesus or anything, does it? Church being the woman. And you know, somebody was asking here yesterday about a sister not having a husband. Isn't it a privilege if a sister ends up in a situation like this, that she has no husband and kids to take care of, that she would come and help and would find the help of the church? Isn't it something? And people try to say, well, you know, but isn't... Well, no, I mean, obviously, it's just common sense. Something is missing in the house, isn't there? The husband is missing.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's a fact, isn't it?
Yeah.
The husband, the head, is missing. So yes, we are dealing with a situation which is not perfect, and it will not become perfect by her becoming the head. No, the head is missing. Yes, the children should obey the mother. They always should and would and will and have to.
Yeah. But there are certain things, and people who are in this situation, they will confess and say, yes, I'm missing something.
I'm missing the authority of a father. I'm missing it. And you can leave her alone and say, now you become the head. Or you say, come under our wing, we can help you.
That's right. That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
And you can step into the position and help her. Not that a person would become her husband, of course not. But the church will help her and cover it.
The
Lord himself will become her husband. You know what I mean? So brethren, if we do not deal with these things in our heart, if we do not change our perspective, if men don't become men and women don't become women,
hallelujah,
how do we conquer homosexual spirits?
Absolutely.
And the same with the children. The girls are to be girls and the boys are to be boys. And we are talking about dress. Attitudes.
Yes.
Home chores. We are talking about toys.
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We are talking about certain behavior. I do different things with my boy than with my girls.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
When it's crawling and it's boy playing with a dolly, fine. When it starts walking, I don't want to see dolly in his hand.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so on. I do encourage, you know, certain sports and things, the boy and movement, you know, and I can tolerate certain, you know what I mean, of man. You see where it is and if it's righteous, but man needs to, you know, needs to learn and he wants to lead and all this.
That's right.
And I am very happy when the girls are playing girls.
Yes.
And being mothers and playing with the babies and being pregnant and all these things, you know. My little 3-year-old Lisa came a few days back. Barak is staying in our house, and she called me and said, "Daddy, I have a problem." And I said, "Okay, what is it?" And she shows me her dolly, and she says, "Can you talk to her?" And I said, "Why? What?" And she said, "She wouldn't say hello to Brother Barak." And I said, "Well, what did you do?" And she said, "I prayed with her, I spanked already, and she still wouldn't say hello." You know what I mean? That's how girls are supposed to play being 3 years old, right? And sometimes you kind of see her spanking a dolly and you wonder, and so, I say, "That's all right." You know? Anyway. There's a couple more scriptures, my goodness. Did you say 4:00? I need to finish. No, do not worry. The good news is we have to leave this room. So it's good news anyway. Which one do I choose? There's maybe a couple of scriptures, because I really wanted to go and go through the silver too. I never had a chance. But let me mention the silver real brief, because I want to show you that it's just the beginning.
Okay.
The judgment is in the beginning, but that's not the ultimate goal. But if we pass through it, there's no more condemnation.
Right.
What's the scripture?
There is no condemnation.
4. Aha. Aha. So we have a scripture which actually is saying the brass will be left outside.
Amen.
The brass will be left outside, because we will be in Christ Jesus. How do we get in Christ Jesus?
We are baptized into Him. Baptized into Christ.
And when you are baptized into Christ, the next step, you enter the place where there is no brass. Only the door has 5 pillars. And the pillars are rooted in grass. Brass, did you know that? Sorry, the 5 pillars talk about ministry, fivefold ministry. And if you are complaining about the fivefold ministry being rooted in judgment and in brass, that's what they are supposed to do.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
So, they are very unfortunate. It's a hard job. I'm sure every ministry would love to come and do, "Oh, welcome, and it's so good you're here, don't change, and it's good, we love you anyway." But they would not be the right ministry. the right minister has to come and say, brother, we love you so much. I tell my kids, I always say, I love you so much that I will not let you go astray. Not in my house. You will not go astray. Come, my sweetheart, let me spank you. It so needed to be. You know what I mean? Even though, you know, the world says otherwise.
Yes.
But I love my kids, and the Lord, and the Bible says, if you spare your rod,
you spoil
the child. You hate the child. That's the one I had in mind. Anyway. We need to speak about. Well, let me give you just. I have about 100, but anyway, I'll give you a couple. Isaiah 60:17. Isaiah 60:17. You can go later into it. I don't have time to go into every detail of this verse. I'll just do the first few words. For brass, I will bring gold.
Amen.
For brass, I will bring gold. Amen. So suffer the brass. Brethren, suffer the brass, because he is going to replace it with gold.
Amen.
So for brass, I'm going to give 60:17. I'm so sorry. So 60:17. For brass, I will give gold. So God is replacing brass via silver. And it goes to gold. Gold is redemption. You have to be rooted in redemption. What did I say?
Silver.
Oh, silver, of course. Silver is redemption. You have to be rooted in a silver sockets. Yeah, from here on, you are not rooted in brass anymore, but in silver. There is redemption. And that makes the gold. And it supports the gold. If you are not rooted in redemption, you will not make it. If you in both feet, which is the word, and your testimony, your experience, which is the spirit, if you do not know for sure that you have been forgiven, if you are not sure that you have position in God because you have repented, it's too hard, you can't make it. So make sure you are fully standing and not wavering left and right, up and down, okay, and you know you're there in redemption with both sockets.
Amen.
But you cannot make it to silver unless you went through brass.
Okay.
It's impossible. So for brass, I'll bring gold.
Amen.
Remember this one. Let it be your hope, and let it be your path. Let it be tabernacle journey. This is another way to look at tabernacle, isn't it? And we could spend on each, perhaps you can do it as homework, on each part, find the scriptures about redemption, resilience, and judgment. But let me tell you one more, because people, people talk about being sorry and all this. Let me read you quickly from 2 Corinthians 7th chapter, 9 to 11. I was told I have to one, so I need to rush a bit. Now I rejoice, Paul says, to 2 Corinthians 7, 9 to 11. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. You know, sometimes we don't like to make people sorrow or sorry. And Paul says, I'm glad.
Yes.
That's right.
I'm glad. Yes. You know, brethren, if we have to go through a certain sorrow, if we are, when we face God and we see His righteousness, we see the white linen, and we see our own wickedness and wretchedness, and we are willing, like me, with the traitors of men, and say, God, help me, I'm the wretched man, then the sorrow will help us. But that is sorrow to repentance. Do you know you can sorrow to repentance? And do you know that there is a sorrow which is unto death, which is a pity party?
Yeah.
You know, this thing, the head of it is silver, is redemption. That's the proper sorrow, because it leads you to lift your head up and see the redemption. Amen. So when you are standing outside and you're looking at the pillar or the pillars, yeah, or post or whatever you call it, and they are brass, you see the judgment, and then you look up, you see the silver, and that's the redemption. That's where it's supposed to lead. But in sorrow to repentance, for ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. It means actually it didn't hurt you. Being sorry for a season didn't hurt you. Amen. For godly sorrow worketh repentance.
Amen.
To salvation.
Amen.
Not to be repented of.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Do you understand the difference?
Yes.
So there is sorrow to repentance.
Mm.
And there is sorrow to death.
Mm.
Pity me. Pity me.
Mm.
Poor me.
Yeah.
All the time I hear this, I have to walk long and blah blah blah. Or this is this, Lord, I'm sorry and I realize and I admit and I confess I need a change. Deliver me. Like the man. You know, there he wasn't even looking up. You know, he wouldn't dare to. He just saying, God, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinful man. How did he leave the church? Justified, didn't he?
Yeah.
Compared to the other guy who was too good to repent.
In the name of Jesus.
You know, so if you want to be having the silver experience, if you want to be rooted in silver, we have to have the sorrow. Don't avoid it. Let it do the work in you, in your kids, whoever. And one more scripture, one more verse. For behold, the self same thing that he sorrowed after a godly sort, you know, and now it explains what it is. You know, it says, it brought carefulness, it brought in you. The word in the Greek is really diligence.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have time to go into much detail, but carefulness, diligence, it worked in you diligence towards dealing with a sin.
Mm-hmm.
If you face the real thing, you know what I mean? If you face the real thing, then changes you and it gives you the power, the diligence to deal with it. Sometimes we fight sin and we are not diligent enough. We don't have the diligence to deal with it. Right? So we give up. We did 2-3 times. We don't have enough diligence. We don't hate it enough and we don't overcome the sin. But the sorrow, if you see the reality, it should give you the diligence. Then it should give you the apology. It says clearing, but the real word is apology. By the way, the Greek is apologia, so okay, it gives you the apology, so you go and you apologize and say, I am so sorry. It's not a sorry but, you know, I'm so sorry but you caused this. It's I am so sorry, I am really truthful sorry. And the next is indignation, being very displeased with a sin. It causes in you, God, I'm displeased. I don't like it. I really want to do something. Fear, phobos. You know, phobia. The fear in you. Fear of God. Fear of where this thing could bring you. Vehement desire. Zeal. Revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. So the godly sorrow would bring you to silver. It would bring you to repentance. And that would bring the real forgiveness and real cleansing and really loving the Lord. That would bring the love. That would bring the gold in you. Amen. Peter went through this, and he is one of my greatest examples. He was the one who was boasting, but he was chicken out, wasn't he? Big mouth, you call it. You know, yeah. Zealous was good, but you know, he was chicken out. And when the time came, after 3.5 years being with Peter, with Jesus, and all this, he did betray him, as Jesus said. I don't know how much you can appreciate the story in its fullness, but Peter did betray Jesus, you know, and the last encounter he had with Jesus, was when Jesus looked at him.
Yes.
He's seen Jesus beaten up, you know, he's seen him, he wouldn't betray, he wouldn't deny the Father, and he's seen him, and Jesus gave him this look, and I do not believe this look was like,
"See, Peter, I told you."
It was, "Peter, I love you."
Yes.
And he's seen the righteousness, that in the midst of this, that he was not angry with Peter.
Yes.
He's seen the forgiving eyes. And it caused him to see the contrast. What did he do? He wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. Unless we have the experience of seeing Jesus and in contrast our own soul. And unless we can really go and weep bitterly and say, "Jesus, do something, cleanse me." Peter didn't know where he stands. Because he finished with betraying Jesus. Betrayal, this is it. And Jesus died. Can you imagine? Jesus is dead, and Peter is sitting there and says, "Where do I end up? What will happen with me?" You know what I mean? Will it be, will I get into heaven? Or will I be, because I betrayed him, because Jesus, his ears must have resonating, the words, "Who will deny me, I will deny before my Father." So Peter there is wondering, "Do I end up in hell? Will I be denied by Jesus too?" And perhaps, if he got his doctrine right, he would. You know, so Peter is in a very bad situation. God had a provision for him. When they came, if you look in Mark 16, somewhere there, we don't have time to find it. In Mark 16, when the angel talked to the women, didn't he say, "Go and tell the brethren and Peter." Why do you think God make all the effort that he explicitly, the angel said, "and Peter"?
Yes.
In other words, he is included.
Yes. Amen.
Tell him the heaven is saying he is included.
Amen.
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 Because he wept bitterly.
Yes.
Because he admitted and confessed the sin. And heaven seeing the difference between him and Judas. And he went and he wept bitterly. And this caused him to go from the brass to redemption. Tell the brethren and Peter. And then Peter ran. You know the story? When he heard this, he ran. And they brought him to Gaul. And then you understand better the dialogue between him and Jesus. And Jesus asked, "Do you love me more than the others?" "Yes, Jesus, I love you." You know why? "Because I was forgiven. I went through this process."
Amen.
Of brass, silver, and gold.
Amen.
Isn't that a story?
Yes.
The more you get forgiven, the more you love.
Yes.
Jesus gave. When the woman came, he says, "I came to your house. You didn't wash my feet. You didn't do anything to me, but she's coming." Why? Because she went through the process of brass, silver, to gold.
Amen.
And she was risen up. So brethren, it is foolishness to avoid brass. It's foolishness to avoid the tears. It's foolishness to avoid the linen. We want to make sure we go through the process properly. Because the whole tabernacle is about going from brass via silver to gold. Or in other words, going through judgment where the sin is judged via repentance, forgiveness, and cleansing to the nature of God, which is in us and all around us. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.